Welcome to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors. Professional and efficient service since 2004. Serving the Kingston and surrounding areas. Alongside co-host Craig Pierce and producer Ted Evans, here's your host, Jordan Webster.
We're back on Split the Defense, Leafs post-game. Thumbs up this episode, subscribe to our YouTube, rate us 5 stars, and get her going in the comments. I'm here with CP and producer Ted in the booth. Leafs complete the season sweep of the Montreal Canadiens. We had goals from Domi, Matthews, Knies, and McMahon tonight. Who do you got as your first star, and how do you feel about this one, CP?
I always forget about first star. Let me come back to it. I felt like it was a good game. It's always hard for me to get up for Habs games these days, just because like they're not high in the standings. But it is a bit of a challenge for the Leafs because they typically have not shown up well against, you know, middle to, you know, bottom of the standing team. So decent. Like, I think they did just enough, like enough that they had to get the win. But, you know, it's not like they brought a, you know, playoff mentality, unless like your name's Ryan Reeves, I guess. But I just it was a fine game. It was good to see Marner to get back into the lineup, and definitely more of a playoff lineup than we've been seeing, just because we for a long time didn't see Riley in it, and then Marner is missing. So good to see the lines kind of resemble something that we might see game one of the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely kicked ass tonight. Yeah, you can take away from it what you will. It's the Montreal Canadiens, and they aren't good right now. But, you know, they always play the Leafs hard. Obviously, it's went the Leafs' way all season. So, you know, you don't expect anything less at this point. You'd want them to win this game. I didn't really expect a loss. I kind of expect this is one where you take advantage of being able to get your shit together and put one together for a game like this. You know, you have a struggling game against a really good team like Tampa, and there are going to be other games that are tougher to win. And I think that maybe at this time of the season, this is where you are really trying to find out what you can do and who you are and push. And the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, they're all NHL players too. So, but we did have new lineups tonight, and that's where we should definitely start. The Maple Leafs spread the offense across all three lines, and all three lines scored before the game was half over. How did you feel about Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi, McMahon, Tavares, Marner, and Knies, Holmberg, Nylander?
Definitely, a ideal lineup. Like, I was like preaching like a defensive third line that had Marner on it, but going like for an offensive third line that has Willie on it, but you're still keeping Marner off the first line. Definitely is better than just kind of scrapping what they've been doing for the last month that's been working. So the most important thing was that Domi, Bertuzzi were still with Matthews to me. And so like that's, I was really excited to see that, you know, Keefe is kind of seeing what everybody else is seeing. It's like, it's hasn't just been a flash in the pan kind of line. Like, I think it's something that really has chemistry, three guys that really work well together. And like, we've always known that, like, Tavares and Marner is going to work. Like, Tavares has always played his best hockey with Marner, and Marner just makes everyone better on the ice, no matter who's
ideal. That's just ideal, having Tavares with Marner. I mean, like, the fact that you have a dope top line with Bertuzzi, Matthews, Domi is so nice to be able to put Marner on that second line. And like I said to you, Knies, Holmberg, Nylander, could, you know, that has the potential to be a thing. And like, it doesn't even have to be those three guys specifically, because we still have Cali Yarncroke in the wings somewhere here.
Yeah, I agree. And like, if he comes back, Knies is looking like he's either getting scratched or he's got to play a fourth line role instead of Dewar or Reeves.
I was thinking Holmberg. Holmberg.
Who's going to play center?
Yarncroke.
Oh, no, I don't like that. I mean,
well, he is a center, isn't he?
Not really. He's a winger. He just has the ability to play center, like almost the ability that Willie has. I would say they're probably equal in their ability to play center. So maybe it is something where they kind of trade off responsibilities. But I think that I would scratch Knies, I think, at that point, just to, because he's not doing anything on the PK, and like Yarncroak is, I think, going to provide more to that line than he can. But I like that line though. Like as it is, I wouldn't give him like any tough matchups. Like you kind of have to shelter them, but that's way better than having Robertson there. And it's like the same thing. It's a, still a scoring third line, but.
You know, you could sell to me having Pontus Holmberg stay in the lineup. You could. I watched him tonight, and he was playing in that dirty, you know, that he grabbed a guy, threw him over. He didn't get a penalty. He hit a guy where he should have got a penalty. He didn't get a penalty. And I don't know what it is about Pontus Holmberg, but he's getting away with shit that you're not supposed to get away with. So you don't really want to take a guy like that off of the ice.
Yeah, he's definitely brought more of a physical presence the last couple games. Like I think, I don't know, someone's either talked to him or he's just gotten the message that this is a, you know, will up your role in the on the team. But I think that he's throwing the body a bit more. He's being a little chippier. I didn't necessarily see that he got away with penalties, but
I saw it tonight and I love it. I love it. Yeah, I don't hate it.
That's awesome.
They're mostly like holding calls or just like, it's not like he's whacking somebody in the face or anything. It's him, you know, running interference or, you know, one of them was a holding on the way back and he held him and then he pushed him over. And I wonder like, how did the ref not see that? It was clear as day, but he gets away with it and he's not getting that rookie treatment of getting penalties like he was before. So I could be sold on having Pontus Holmberg be the guy, but Matthew Knies is so talented. Wouldn't you just take a guy out like, you know, Dewar or Reeves, like, and have Knies fill one of their roles?
Like the one I would talk about it being Reeves, if you just wanted a different look and more offense on your fourth line. But Dewar's been a big part of the PK being better. Like he's the guy that's kind of pushing Marner down to the second PK, or at least, you know, allowing you to give Marner less minutes there. So that's the one thing where I say that, like, I'm not sure I want Dewar to come out. And Knies doesn't do that, you know, like he's a great offensive guy and I do trust him 5-on-5, but he's not a guy you go to on PK. He's not on the top power play. So like he's expensible at that point, especially if we're talking about Yarncroak being back, like he can go in and slot in on the PK and the power play. So I just think that Knies doesn't bring as much of the things that you want in your bottom six, but at the same time, like I'm splitting hairs. Like, you know, if you ended up rotating any of those bottom six minus, you know, Willie at this point, considering he's an actual bottom six, like
bottom
guy right
six
now.
Plus.
Yeah. So anything other than him, like, I think you can mix up and find something that works, but cause considering like Dewar does play center, like I would trust him over Yarncroak. So like maybe there's something there that you
and
see.
Yeah, you are right about the penalty kill. Over their last 10 games, the Leafs have an 81.8% penalty kill. That would put them ninth in the league. So, you know, that's much better. That's much better. That's where they want to be. And that's all great and fine and dandy. But and I know like he's not really playing power play, but does Matthew and I see no power play time? Will they never need a goal? Because I feel like they're going to need a goal. Right now, the problem is they had no power play goals for again tonight. They have no power play goals for, like, ever. Their last 10 games, they're at 12.1%.
Yeah, he's a power play two guy. I'm just like the second power play is not contributing just like the first one is. And, you know, it's not, like, that's the same thing. Like, I'm not
I'm just
sure
saying, I think you keep enough. a Knies over a Dewar because you want the goal. You want the goal over the guy that defends. That's actually potentially my opinion.
Because if Yarncroak's coming back, like, he can fill, like, the Dewar PK role. But I'm just saying that, like, you know, it's the PK has been so much better and Dewar's a big part of that. So I don't know.
Yeah, he is a big part of that. And I mean, Marner's been gone for like the whole time Dewar's been here too, though, right? Like, and you're going to have to see how it all looks together and we'll see who ends up being expendable. And that's where I get to Pontus Holmberg again. But they got to do something about fixing that power play because you can't go into the playoffs at this low of a rate scoring. Like, you guys have one more guy on the power play. Austin Matthews scored 64 tonight. Again, so we're on Austin Matthews 70 watch still. There's six games left after this one, I think.
Yeah. Six
goals, six games. You think he does it?
I kind of do, yeah. Like, I feel like we have definitely one more multi-goal game. And like, if he sees it, like, he's going to be shooting more. I was kind of, the only reason it like makes me be a little bit interested in the end of this game is that like maybe Matthews gets an open net goal, like, or an empty net goal. So yeah, like, I think that he'll do it. I don't know. It would suck for him to get to 68 or 69, you know, like
69 I know it, would be wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with that.
I would be too. Like, I'm not as big on the milestone thing. You know, like, what's the difference between 69 or 70 other than like 70 is like,
well,
a round
I can
number.
Tell you right now, there's something different.
Well, it's
between
one.
69
I'd say it's one.
Yeah. You guys have very different answers. But yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about totally different things. Right?
Yeah. For sure.
Anyways, yeah. No, I think it's incredible. And I think that you're right. I think we see a multi goal game. And I think it becomes a narrative that we're back on Austin Matthews 70 watch. It's so funny how it goes away. It's the story of being a Leafs fan, right? It's like, oh, we are so back. Oh, we are so screwed. Oh, we are so back. And that's been Austin Matthews' 70 goal chase this season. Just because this guy rips off three, like two or three times in a month, or, you know what I mean? Like, he's getting hat tricks all the time. And he just puts himself right back in that conversation. So I don't see why it's not going to happen.
I think CP makes a good point though about, you know, if it doesn't, it's not the worst thing in the world. We were, for me as an Avs fan, I was watching the Nate thing chasing Gretzky for the home points, and that streak came to an end.
He was robbed.
I know, it was a bit of an odd situation too, how it was like an own goal, but Miko's stick hit the other guy's stick. Anyways, not going to get into the details of that, but yeah, watching that, you know, wasn't the worst thing ever that he didn't make it. Like, it was fun to watch for sure. If Matthews doesn't do it, it's not going to be the end of the world. It's still going to be in a monumental season that you guys got to watch and we all got to see, and it was crazy. But if he does it, fucking right, that's going to be incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. He's not going to, you know, break my heart if it doesn't happen.
No. I'm pretty satisfied with just, like, you got to be satisfied with 64. Like, that's an amazing number, right?
Absolutely. So, actually, I'd like him to get 66 because then he breaks Ovi's.
Yeah, right? I agree. Yeah.
Because then that gives us a shot at, like, well, maybe he'll end up breaking the goal record. All he's got to do is continue scoring. The second he drops off, that conversation ends. But, you know,
he's a way better scorer than Ovechkin ever was. So, it just all comes down to health. That's a record that's all about health. So if Matthews plays as many games as Ovechkin does, like, I have no question. I feel like Matthews is a true scorer, going to be a scorer late in his career. It's one of those where how many games can you put in, you know, and we'll kind of see how that plays out. But I hope the 65 is great. Like, 66 now, that's a point where they're like 66 to 70. I feel like we're like, that's a similar type score, but I know that for him, I'm sure 70 is just like a milestone he wants to check off. So.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He wants to check that off for absolute sure. Just like Willie got his 96th point tonight. He wants to hit 100.
For sure.
Matthews hit 100 tonight. So, you know, you got these boys pushing. Marner was also back. What did you think of his performance tonight?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Like, he didn't, like, necessarily stand off the page for me for, like, offensively, but I feel like first game back, he's definitely a feels guy. So it's all about like him ramping up to being at his full potential once like game one of the playoffs start. And, you know, it's just great. I'm so happy that he's back. Just it's a high ankle sprain. Like, I said it from day one. Like, you don't know if this is going to be like 1 week or like, you know, 12 weeks. So it was good to see that like he's back, you know, trying to find the groove and hopefully he can be the solution to the power play. Like, he's been a big part of it. Yeah. Being bad is him being out, so like, we'll see how that adjusts, but didn't necessarily make a huge impact there tonight, but I didn't necessarily expect him to.
I mean, I guess that's fair enough, give him a chance to ramp back up, but he definitely is the blood of this team. As much as people don't want to admit it, Mitch Marner is the guy. Like, you can really notice when we didn't have him. They kind of adapted. They actually be kind of, at the beginning, they struggled a lot more without him than they did after a few games. But, you know, they learned to play without him. And tonight when he came back, I really feel like Mitch Marner, the addition of Mitch Marner was the reason that it was, you know, 4-0 to start, I think is what it was. And then they came back and scored two. So, like, you know, they score bang, bang, bang. It was, like, right away, too. Goals were, like, back to back to back tonight. It was incredible. And I just feel like that a lot of that was just now knowing that you have all that extra power. And I just wonder when Yarncroke is going to be back. I hope he gets healthy soon, because now it just kind of feels like we're getting a bit of a powerhouse on the forward end.
Yeah, and, like, the biggest thing about getting Marner back and not putting him with Matthews is, like, he is just such a respected player around the league to create an offense on his own. So it really becomes like a challenge to the coaching and like the top players on the other team of how they're going to defend. Because like it's just with Tavares and Willie, I mean, they're great, but it's not necessarily...
It's not the same. No, it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same, you know. And so I think like you're going to see a lot of like where Matthews is going to get the better hand of matchups because Marner's not with him. So like that's what I'm excited about, just getting Marner off that. And I think that like, and like Domi has had a lot to prove in the last month, and I think he has and he continues to. So I think it's just like everything about this lineup tonight of Marner being back in it, just it changes so much. Like you said, he's like the heart and soul of this team. And like it, just looking at the lineup, it proves that like Willie's on the third line. Like it just looks like such a deep lineup, and Marner just because is just such a threat on his own, and doesn't hurt that having Bobby McMahon, I think, is going to pot quite a few more goals having Will or having Marner there, not just John Tavares. So
yeah, that's fair. I just want to add that the only reason I'm okay with regular season games still happening is because of instances like this where we need Mitch Marner to ramp back up, and I'm glad it's not playoff time right now. But I'm so going to be honest with you, CP, I'm so fucking sick of regular season games. I'm so ready for the playoffs. It is time. It is time that these games start meaning. I'm super ready for this regular season stuff to be over and for it to just be all or nothing. I don't know about you.
Yeah, that's the only thing about this 82 game schedule. Like, you know, it's jam packed and everything, but like it just seems like there's 10 games in the middle of the season and there's 10 games at the end of the season that just feels like we want to skip, you know?
Yeah, I know.
So it's like maybe 62 games and an extra playoff round is like would be ideal, but that just screws with way too much of the game, and they're never doing that. So but yeah, I'm in the same boat, man. Like this is a game that like I should be up for more, but once it became like 4-0, I was kind of just like, all right, what are the Jays doing?
I wasn't
very happy there, but you know, it is what it is. You know, we're getting to it, and like you said, like they're using these six games, like they're gonna need them, and you know, hopefully Cal Yarncroke gets back, and hopefully Mitch Marner kind of ramps up perfectly, but it's going to be a bit of a drag, not going to lie. There's a couple games in here that I wish we could skip for sure.
Absolutely. All right, I got one more thing I think here. First thing, I wish Ilya Lyubushkin a happy birthday. He got a happy birthday point tonight on his
Shares a birthday tipped with him.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to Bushman. Yeah. And then we had Reeves versus Pezzetta tonight. Can you explain to me why the fuck Michael Pezzetta is trying to take on Ryan Reeves?
Well, what kind of an idiot.
He's not big enough. And he's just like, what are you doing? Like, you don't need to do that. It's the end of the year. Like, is he a goddamn masochist? He just likes going to get his ass beat. He did not stand a chance. He got his head beat in. Like, and he's lucky that he was facing the way he was, because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have a tooth left in his mouth.
Yeah, I don't think he wanted that fight. He hit a guy from behind, and Reeves was making sure that he took it, standing like at the face off, just, you know, basically telling him, you're gonna fight me. And like, I can't say his name, but Pezzetta, is that
it? Pezzetta.
Like he skated away, like, and he kind of skated towards his own bench, and Reeves just followed him. And I think that like he was like on the teetering point of being embarrassed by like not taking the fight, and then he just kind of had to, and it was
that's brutal. Reeves? That's borderline predatory.
Like you can't, Brett,
Michael, sure. He should not be fighting Ryan Reeves. If there's, you know, like it's the end of the year, like there's nothing to fight for there. Like it's not like he's a big heavyweight. Maybe I could kick his ass. You're never going to win. It's not like it was a good fight either. He got smoked.
Yeah. And there is like a part of me, like I look at it the other way. Like, I don't care about Pezzetta. He plays for the Habs. Like, but Ryan Reeves, like, I feel like those knuckles might be taking a bit of a beating. And so that's what I was thinking. As soon as he took it, I was like, do we really have to be fighting a guy that, like, didn't, like, it was a bad hit, but, like, no one got injured. And, like, it's in the end of the season.
That's a great,
like,
point.
I want Reeves to be healthy. So, like, that was part of it. And you could see, like, in last game when he fought, he's holding his hands in the box. And tonight he skates right across to the bench and goes
pounding him on his helmet, too.
Yeah.
Like, just back of his helmet, just continuously thrashing him. Like, it was unbelievable.
I know he doesn't have much feeling in those hands, but, like, it once something breaks, like, you gotta, like, take a step back here, man. Like
I can't believe they're not broken. That's what I was gonna say. Like, I can't believe they're not broken at this point. Like, how do you smash your hands off something that many times and not break them? There just must be so much scar tissue there from over the years.
Oh yeah.
Bit of a bout that one there, but not for Pezzetta. That was all Ryan Reeves. So do you got anything else on this game, CP?
I got a couple things. So, like, Robertson out this game. It's one of those where it sucks because he was just on this kind of roll, playing better defensively, scoring, like, in, I don't know, 2 out of 4 games, I think, or something like that. Maybe even less, but I've obviously never been much of a Robertson fan. I've tried to, you know, convince you we should trade him, like, a million different times.
I've been trying to convert you all season.
Yeah. But I now feel bad for him because, like, any guy that kind of learns how to play defensively and realizes that's a big part of this game, like, I always have a soft spot for. So it is one of those where, like, he just ran out of, you know, runway here. And I'm not sure he'll probably, you know, be in a couple of these games coming up. But I think this was Keith showing his hand that he's not in the playoff lineup. And it's sad to see, but it is what it is.
Yeah, we were talking about who's going to be the first guy out, and that's a big thing, Nick Robertson. Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Obviously, Holmberg is loved by Sheldon Keefe right now. But, like, you know, Yarncroak was his go-to guy for everything. Who is that right now?
I mean, I guess
he doesn't have a Yarncroak.
Yeah, he doesn't have a Yarncroak. Like, I don't know. That's interesting.
So is he doing that with really Holmberg? Because he had Holmberg on the top line. Remember?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's had Holmberg on the fourth line. He's had Holmberg on the third line.
He just currently doesn't need everywhere. Like a utility knife. So, like, I guess we would see. Like, and the thing is like, we have guys on, like, if someone goes down on the wings, like, there's guys before you need a Swiss Army knife. Because, like, Nice has been pushed down the lineup. Like, oh, Willie's now on the third line. So, like, I'm not sure you need kind of that Swiss Army knife of a, you know, Yarncroak, Kerfoot, kind of a player. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Maybe it's Doer, you know? Like, we don't know at this point. But
Yeah, maybe that could be the guy. But I was thinking maybe that's why Holmberg got to stay in over Robertson. Because, like you said, he's been scoring. Like, why wouldn't you keep the kid in? Why wouldn't you want him in your playoff lineup? But I wonder if Keith's falling in love with Holmberg, and that's going to be his new guy because Yarncroak's out. But you're right, it could also be Doer.
I think it's also just position-wise where, you know, Holmberg, Keith seems to want Doer to play the wing. And so, like, I think Holmberg's, like, his you know, third C, and he doesn't really want to put Doer in that position. So I think that's also part of it. It's not necessarily that Robertson isn't as good, but if he played center, it'd be a different story. So it's the same reason why Timmins got into the lineup way too many times recently. It's just he holds a right-handed stick, and, like, that's part of it. It's like he plays right D, and that's, you know, Keith wanted to see more of those in the lineup.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. And that's what I say. Like, we're all fighting. Is Connor Timmins going to be in the playoff lineup? Like, only Sheldon Keefe knows that, and it all depends on if he's got enough right-handed defensemen in his lineup. Because if he doesn't, then he'll just use one. Even if he's not good, he'll just put one in because he just wants right-handed defensemen in that lineup. You know, you can't fault him, but at the end of the day, like, how do you think Brody looked tonight?
Yeah, that's the last thing on my sheet here. So, yeah, like, we kind of had a little bit of a, you know, back and forth about is it going to be Timmins or is it going to be Brody? Like, is Brody even better than Timmins? And, like, I thought Brody did totally fine on the right side tonight. And a lot of Brody, I think, has been confidence. Like, he's had so many things go on in his personal life that I think have affected his hockey. And like, I think even just Austin Matthews giving him the MVP belt last week, and you know, him having a few good games in a row, he got 2 assists, he got an assist tonight. He's building confidence. And I think like he hasn't, it's not necessarily that his style of play has needed him to be a really fast skater, like really good playmaker. Like, he's a smart player. He does things responsibly. And that's why it's been so confusing why the last year he hasn't been playing up to his potential. And so I just think that he's building on something. It's not going to be perfect. He's not going to be the Brody that we saw a year ago, but
he's lost a step. Like, he's clearly lost. He's not as quick. He's not as agile as he was before. The TJ Brody in Calgary is not the same TJ Brody we see here in Toronto.
No, but like he was less agile last year at the beginning of the year as well. But like, he was able to figure out how to play smart and get things done. So like, I think that, yes, he's not going to be the best TJ Brody that we'll ever see, but I think he's going to be a great third line defenseman. And that's all we're asking.
And you're right. He's got that hockey smart, and like, that will take him a lot further than guys who don't understand how to play the game that way. And you're right. I think he could build on something, but like, I'm not sure. Like, tonight, I didn't notice him. So like, I thought he looked all right. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Right. When Brody's his best, you don't notice him unless there's a 2-on-1 where he's like doing the Superman, you know,
L1, R1.
Yeah. So yeah, unless he's doing that, you're probably not going to notice him, like, unless you're really focusing on it. So the only thing is, like, we both agreed again, like, you know, if Liljegren's healthy, then we have a discussion to have, because then what, like, the right hand discussion comes in, or like argument comes in to me a bit more. If it's with Connor Timmins about the right hand, I'm just not sure it's a good enough reason to put him in. But Liljegren and Brody, I think, have been playing similarly enough that you might put Liljegren in because he has a right shot and he's going to be your second power play guy. Or you could like even put him on the first power play if you need to. So I think that's where it's a little bit of a discussion. But also, though, in the past, Liljegren coming off injury is not the best version of him that we see. So.
No, just as soon as he starts to, I was, remember the cycle? Did we talk about the cycle? Yeah.
Yep.
Cycle. That's a great cycle. It's very true. We are here.
Yep. We're in the middle.
yep. Anyways, so the Leafs are going to play the Penguins coming up. When is that? Nice. Monday is when they play them.
Is that home Penguins, or away?
They're at home. And the Penguins play the Lightning today, and they won, which put the Penguins in a playoff spot. And the Flyers lost to the Blue Jackets, which kept the Penguins in a playoff spot. So that is an important game for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And that is going to be the kind of game that you want to see the team put one together for. Am I right? Now, this Montreal Canadiens game we can't get up for, but that is a game that we should be getting up for.
Oh, any Sidney Crosby game, I'm getting up for. Like, that's the, like, to me, the like best Canadian hockey player in our generation. And so I'll get up for it. No question. It'll be interesting to me. Like, the first thing that comes to mind is just the line matching, because obviously the Crosby line is the best line on that team. And so is Sheldon Keefe going to line match with Marner, or is he going to line match with Matthews? And then how does the other line do because of that? So that's where I love this Marner on a different line. Cause like, now it's just like, it opens up so much more for like coaching, and maybe that's been Keith's downfall, but I think that this is just, you know, you have so many options. So yeah, I'm excited for that. There's no doubt. Crosby, to me, I want to watch as many Crosby games as possible in the next few years, because, you know, there's only so many left.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I'm cheering for them to make the playoffs big time, because just like, Crosby not being in the playoffs is a crime. Like, that guy, if he's not going to be on the playoffs in Pittsburgh, like, he needs to be out of there, because I do not want to see him like not be in the playoffs.
I can't see him leaving.
I know it seems so crazy, but it would be a crime for him to just not make the playoffs now for the next like 4 years. And then he retires, where we could have seen him like
three cups, like whatever.
I know, but he's just so good still. Like, you watch him play, he's having like not a career year, but he's having, for the last 4 years, the best year in the last four or so. So
I wonder how these discussions went around Wayne Gretzky around the same time, because he was so great and had all those records, and you know, he was considered such a generational talent, which he obviously is. I'm just saying he was considered, but he was the guy at that time, right? And I wonder if they had the same conversations. How can you not have Wayne Gretzky on a playoff team?
Yeah, you know? Well, I mean, he had that discussion when he like had to decide if he was going to leave Edmonton or not. Like, that's in some documentary somewhere, but. Yeah, like he basically had to say, like, well, I'm leaving Edmonton. I'm not going to be playing with the same caliber of players, so I'm definitely not winning as many cups. Like, the challenge now is, can I win any more in the rest of my career? So that, like, and that's where he is. That's where Crosby is exactly right now.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's a good comparison. But I just, yeah, Crosby's just one of those players. Like, I just also, like, I can't wait for the next, you know, best on best Olympics or World Cup or whatever, just to see Crosby go on. Like, he's still got it, guys.
I cannot wait. Oh, he'll be there. He'll absolutely be there 100%, and it'll be fabulous to see all those guys together. But, yeah, so the Pittsburgh Penguins. When Kyle Dubas went to the Pittsburgh Penguins, it was kind of like, okay, whatever. And then he went and got Noel Acciari. It's like, okay. And now Michael Bunting's there. And it starts to feel like one of those, I don't know, superhero kid shows where your friends are all teaming up as your villains now.
Yeah.
Is it not? It's like there's so many ex-Leafs over there. It really feels like this is a more important game than it should for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I mean, if you know Kyle Dubas, you knew this was going to happen. Like, that guy just loves his guys. so I don't know, when he went there, like, I couldn't be happier that he's gone, just based on him trading for Carlson. As soon as he did that, I was like, wow, I couldn't believe, like, if he had done that here, I would have stopped being a Leafs fan, because Carlson was obviously over the hill. And that's just going for it in, like, too much of a, you know, Hail Mary way. So I don't know. I think Kyle Dubas is overrated. And so is his Pittsburgh Penguins. The only thing they got going for them is that they got Crosby.
Yeah, but like, there's that meme that was like, everybody dilutes themselves into thinking that this thing is going to work every single time, but it never works. But for us, it might just work. And that's Erik Karlsson, you know, like, you don't know. He was a Norris winner last year. Like, he was a stud. He might have been good in Toronto. Well, you don't think he'd have been better than John Klingberg?
Well, okay. We're talking, yeah. Well, yes, he would have been, but not for the amount of money you're paying him.
No, but at the end of the day, like, if he would have been in a better position, right? In absolutely a better position, slightly. We could have seen a better Erik Karlsson. Like, it's not like Kyle Dubas wasn't wrong.
He's just think about just all the things that would have had to go out the door. You know, like, I don't know. That was a bad trade. Anyone, like, wanting Erik Karlsson, like, I don't know. Like, I know that he used to be a great player, and it's a Hail Mary. But it didn't work, you know, like, and I think that looking back, they're not going to want it.
Well, they might make the playoffs. They're in a playoff spot right now, so it still might work. You know, they could go on a long run, and Erik Karlsson could be a big part of that. But we will be back on Monday after the Penguins versus Leafs game. That is a wrap for now. We are Split the Defense, Leafs post game. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for commenting. Hit that like button. Subscribe on YouTube. Please rate and review the show. You can find us on X at STDP Hockey and search for Split the Defense on all other socials. Until next time, peace.
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 Thanks for tuning in to Split the Defense.
Split the Defense.
Leafs post-game edition. Hosted by Jordan Webster, Craig Pierce, and producer Ted Evans. Split the Defense is presented by LaForest Electrical Contractors, professional and efficient service since 2004, serving the Kingston and surrounding areas.